from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
All right, everybody, welcome into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrecht, Tommy Kester here with you. Glad to be back on a Wednesday, on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, where Tommy is choosing not to participate for some reason. That's all right. We can have fun without you. It's Jacob Albrecht here alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers back in studio. It has been it's been a long time. It feels like I haven't been here in forever. And the Royals have gone up in flames since the last time we talked last week. We'll get into that, of course. And, you know, they just keep getting lucky by what's happening around them. But we'll get into that. We'll dig in. We've got KU talk today. Shri Islada, our KU insider, is joining us. We will also talk with Dan Israel. We moved him a day this week with the holiday. So he will join us to help preview that game. Chiefs opener against the Ravens tomorrow. It's all going to be a blast. It's all going to be fun. And we're glad to be here with you for it. Of course, you can call us at 869-1240. That's the IHOP hotline, brought to you by IHOP, and it's all you can eat pancakes deal through September 15th. We'll give away a little HTO for you as well today, so stay tuned for your opportunity to win that. Tommy, it's been a minute. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Glad to be here today. Happy to have you back, although it's a little blinding when I look at you because of what you're wearing, but nevertheless, I'm glad that you're back. Glad that we're back here doing the show together. It's rare that I'm here on a Wednesday doing a show. I had some schedule changes this week, and so here on a Wednesday, and this is the first time that I have been a part of Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday, although, like you mentioned, I'm not partaking myself. But just seeing you in that, getup,
I'm trying to start a movement here.
I need to miss every Wednesday moving forward deliberately, just like not be on the show because I don't want to be associated with this.
And because you hate fun and you hate all things joyous. That's cool. Whatever. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It does hurt my feelings a little bit. Savage will be with me next week. Don't worry. Savage will be in tomorrow. By the way, programming note, we're making picks for the first time on Friday. We have games in the books now for KU, K-State. We're getting ready to have a game in the books for the Chiefs. We'll talk about KU in a little bit. Let's start with the Royals, though, Tommy. This is wild. I left town on a Thursday, traveled all day. I think that was the day that Pasquantino and Ursig ran into each other. I was in the air. I was flying, and I got Tommy's text. I'm like, what in the world? Then the news comes down. Pasquantino essentially done for at least the regular season. Ursig is broken now since that moment. As we learned again last night, he was not good. And then the wheels just keep falling off. And now what are we at? Seven in a row? The most they've lost in a row this season by far. Now, you know, glass half full, Tommy, they haven't lost much in the standings. They're still 4.5 games up of Detroit and Boston because they keep losing. Boston and Seattle have both lost 4 straight. So the damage isn't there. That, you know, the unfortunate part is if they're winning any of these games, they're creating a cushion that would be insurmountable. at some point, but they're not. So it looks like this thing's going to be stressful the rest of the way. And, you know, I think the question becomes, Tommy, is there enough gas in the tank? Is there enough left to get there? I applaud them, and I have not heard you all's discussion on, you know, bringing some of these players in, getting Pham in here. Gurriel's hurt, I know, but trying to do anything they can to salvage it despite all the injuries. So I applaud them for that, doing that. But it's got to be enough. Brady Singer was fine last night, and the bullpen let them down. I don't have an answer for anybody out there other than they need this day off badly tomorrow, and it's just going to be a battle of attrition. You know, Pasquantino being out the rest of the way is a just devastating blow, but so is essentially losing your closer, Tommy, which is what's happened here. Ursig came in, what did he come in, the seventh last night, and was bad. And it seems like he's done. Seems like he's broken. And man, if he's broken, we're back to that point we were at a long time ago where the bullpen is now very, very flawed. And I don't have a good answer other than they're just going to have to scratch and claw their way through and hope these other teams continue to struggle as well.
Yeah, it's been just insane to watch the way that the fortunes have swung for the Royals in a week's time. And I don't know really what they can do to fix it. I know what they need to do, but I don't know what they're going to be capable of doing to fix it. And, you know, really, I know that the bullpen, and you mentioned Ursig and all of that, I mean, that's all real, and those are all concerns with the bullpen. But that's not why, really, in my mind, the number one reason why the Royals have lost seven in a row. They've not been able to score runs. I mean, that's been just the bottom line. Their offense, ever since Vinny Pasquantino went down, has gone silent. And they're exhausted. I know going into the game last night, Bobby Witt Jr. was two of his last 19. I know he had a hit last night. He had two hits. He was two for three. So it was a decent night for Bobby Witt Jr. He also added a walk there. So it was productive. But going into the game, he'd been tired. You could tell that. They gave him a day where he could be the DH over the weekend just to give him at least some kind of semblance of some rest and a break. But they absolutely need him and have to have him in the lineup every single day. So he's not going to be able to get the rest that he probably so desperately needs. And, you know, of course, tomorrow's an off day. But Salvador Perez was 1-for-3 last night. But going into that, he was one of his last 22. So he was exhausted also. I think the other big thing, and I mentioned this yesterday when we were talking to Mike Gillespie from Kings of Kauffman, is that by not having Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup, it changes the way that pitchers are going to approach this lineup. They don't have to worry about the three-headed monster of Witt, Perez, and Pasquantino. Really, it's just going to be Witt and Perez, and they've just got to get through those two guys. That's easier said than done, but still, like, you would rather face two monsters in the middle of the lineup as opposed to three.
Well, you get Pham to help you at the top. That helps. You could sit Bobby Witt Jr., I suppose, but
they're not going to, and I know that he's tired.
I wouldn't either, by the way. I would not sit him either because I'm trying to think of a good way to phrase it. It's not waving the white flag. That's too dramatic, clearly. But it almost is like on this current stretch. I would rather see them leave him in there and let those guys battle through it. They're going to start winning. They're going to lose every game the rest of the season. This has spiraled out of control on them. And it is caused by some very fluky, freaky things. And they'll need a chance to rebound from it. And they will. You know, they have been very, as unlucky as they have been, they have been very lucky at the same time. Because they haven't really given up much in the standings. That is very, very fortunate.
From a wild card perspective, from a divisional perspective.
It doesn't matter anymore, much out though. The window. Like, it really doesn't matter anymore. You just got to get there now. Like, it's not, you know, the one game wild card and all that. We had two wild card teams in the World Series last year. It's just not that important anymore. You just have to get there. And
here's where I disagree with you, though. I think that even though the divisional race is at this point probably out of the question, I do think that that matters. And I think it matters significantly from a morale perspective, you know, because, yeah, they may not have given up a ton of ground in the wild card race as of right now. You know, they've gotten, like you mentioned, lucky, fortunate with the Red Sox and, you know, all of that, because they've still been able to hang on to that that lead in the wild card. First off, that could evaporate if they keep playing the way that they're playing in a matter of days. But number two, from a morale perspective, it was 1 week ago today that the Royals not only were tied for the divisional lead with the Guardians, but they had the tiebreaker. Had the season ended on that day, they would have been the AL Central champions. That unraveled in a matter of 7 days to now they are not in contention for the American League Central. That does something to you from a morale perspective if you're not careful. I think the Royals have a good amount of resolve. I think that they you know, I would think that inside their clubhouse, they know how to manage that sort of thing. But still, if you're not careful, it's already gotten out of control from a divisional perspective, but it could very easily spiral even further if you don't manage this whole situation appropriately.
So I think in this specific scenario, with all of the things happening right now, that does, I don't think that will affect their postseason chances one way or another. Last year, and the reason this jumps into my mind is because I remember a year ago. Do you remember last year, the Astros and the champagne and the wonder what it'll be like when somebody else wins the division? Guess we won't find out today. That whole speech, all that, all those things. The Rangers last year lost 4 out of their last 6 to absolutely blow the division lead and limp into the postseason as a wild card. They're a streaky team. They win the World Series. The Royals are not the same sort of team. They don't have the same kind of firepower in the lineup that the Rangers have. They have better starting rotation if those guys are able to, to do what they do. And they both had flawed bullpens, but it didn't affect them once they got there, because they were still like, the Royals haven't been there in so long. The second, even if they lose the division, the second that they clinch a playoff spot, that buzz and excitement will carry them right into the postseason. So, And what's on paper in front of us and what the roster is dealing with right now, it will feel like a win if they can still get there. Like, it will feel like they overcame some adversity, even though in the division they had it right there. At this point now, like, I just have no, like, don't care. This is all about just getting your spot at the table anymore. And there are so many concerning things. You know, the fatigue in the starting rotation. If you don't have Urcig, the bullpen is real shaky, and you're without, you know, maybe your best run producing bat in the lineup and Vinny Pasquantino, who's not going to be bad. Like, it's not, you just have to take him out. You don't have Quatrero there to help try to find the right buttons to push. And I don't know what those are. I would say I would have Salvador Perez behind Bobby Witt Jr. And then I would probably try, I don't know, DeYoung maybe in the cleanup spot, or for me, somebody that's just productive that you can't just pitch around those two guys. Like, if you put, let's say, Freddie Fermin there, and somebody pitches around and you've got Wiz, Freddie Fermin will have a productive at bat. Like, it's going to look very different than it used to, where you just had those three mashers there. But you got to figure that out. And they have, you know, a month to do it. But I think as long as they can get there, they'll be okay. And that has to become the singular focus of everything right now.
I get it. I think that's also easier said than done. And I'm not suggesting that, the Royals are not a playoff caliber team. They've shown all season long that they can overcome adversity, that they can, find ways to win, even when they're not producing at 100%. I mean, that's been in place multiple times throughout the season where they've not been at 100%, and they've been a flawed team. They know how to win by being a flawed team. This is different because this is 7 in a row, and this is, you know, not just a blown game by a bullpen here, or, you know, leaving runners on base and scoring position there. This is a consistent over 7 games. They've not been able to produce offensively. Say what you will about the bullpen, and I know that there are concerns with Urcig, and, you know, that's just something that has continued, just overall the bullpen not being, at the top of its game. this 7-game losing streak has been driven by a lack of offense. You know, they scored one run last night, but before that, they hadn't scored more than two runs. You know, you have to go back to the Guardian series last week, you know, the last time that they actually scored more than two runs in a game. You know, so it's not been productive offensively for them. They miss not only Pasquantino, but they miss Hunter Renfroe in the lineup. And I don't know what that looks like for his return.
Soon, I think. They got positive news there yesterday.
You know, they need him back in the lineup for sure. Yeah. And they need him to be the Hunter Renfroe that he was before he went on the IL. So they're missing him. You know, the Yuli Gurriel signing, which we talked with Mike Gillespie about yesterday, on paper seemed like it would be a really, you know, low risk, potentially the high reward or decent reward acquisition for the Royals. There's no guarantee that he'll be back at all, you know, after playing one game or two games with the Royals.
Yeah.
You know, so they've been snake bitten in a lot of ways. And, you know, I get the whole philosophy of them limping into the postseason, and you get your you can reset the table with your starters. You can kind of make sure that and the Royals are built for short series like that in the playoffs. I get that entire philosophy, man. I'm just concerned that they may not have the firepower to even get that far. You know, if this continues, it's going to be a challenge for them, I think, to even get that final wild card spot.
Yeah, I mean, it will be. It's not like the problems are not mental. Like, they've lost too many players, right? It's a battle of attrition for the roster right now, and no team could overcome losing, you know, your three hole hitter, who's one of the more productive bats in baseball. No team could withstand losing your closer, could withstand, you know, not just that, but you've lost Renfroe in the lineup recently. You lost Hunter Harvey, who you went and acquired.
Michael, so basically, Lorenzen is on the IL.
Yeah. You've lost a start. You've lost, you know, 20% of your starting rotation, your arguably most productive run producing bat. You've lost your closer. You lost your perceived setup man for that closer. And those things pile up. And so, can they overcome it? Yes, they can. Will they? They've got seven more of these games where, like, the timing of this is so tragic because of who they're playing at the moment. They still have one with Cleveland tonight. They still have three with Minnesota. And then they have three in New York after that. And then they do finally begin to get some schedule relief after, which will help. So it's going to be a battle of attrition, and it will be a battle to see how many of these pieces can they get back. So twofold, can they get there still? And then what do they have when they get there? And you know, in theory, you would have Lorenzen back. You could have Urcig back to form by then, maybe. You could have Renfroe back, certainly. So, like, there are pieces that could, you could have Harvey back by that point. Like, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. You just have to get there. And getting there is going to be tough. That's why I say it's been so fortunate right now that in this struggle, they haven't lost much, if any, ground in the wild card. That's what's remarkable about this. So, good luck, Guardians, with your division crown. Like, I don't even... Like, it'd be nice to beat them today, not because it could get them back into the divisional race, just because they need a win so badly.
It's rough. I mean, it's a punch in the gut, you know, when you a week ago are, you know, saying, okay, like, the Royals are leading this division. Right.
We cautioned there. We cautioned, like, hang on. Like, yeah, I know they're leading the division, but they still, at that point, they still had 16 straight games against really good teams.
Yeah, but they had played extremely well against the Guardians in their season series against them. You know, even if they lose today, they still overall win the season series with the Guardians. So, you know, I think you felt pretty good about that series coming in, especially after you took three or four from them on the road and just about swept them. It's a gut punch. It's a gut punch when you get all the way to the top of the mountain. You're there for a moment, and then you just completely fall off that cliff. They've got to find a way to stem this tide and get out of this tailspin, because I understand, and you're probably more optimistic about this than I am right now. I know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's very distant, and they've got to do a lot, and they've got to cross their fingers and hope that the health returns for some of these critical players down the stretch, so they can be maybe not at full capacity because they won't have Pasquantino, but at least feel fairly confident in who they're trotting out on the field. I don't think that overall who they're putting out there overall, outside of the guys that we all know and love, they feel overly confident in. It's going to be a tough stretch. They've got to go 6-1 in these next seven games for them to reach that 500 mark in the 20-game stretch that we had talked about. That's what the expectations were going into it.
But that was the expectation before they lost Pasquantino, before they lost Ursic. Like, that all changes everything.
Like, you know, we can't put caveats on this. It's not good right now for them. They've got to turn it around if they want to, you know, I guess if you are okay with the end result being, oh yeah, they limp into the playoffs and then they, you know, I guess they maybe lose in the wild card round and then we're done. If that's okay, all right, cool. Like, fine.
I don't want to put an expectation once they get there. What I'm going to is like, yeah, that the expectation was for them to go 10-10 in that 20, but the world got turned upside down on them. It's not the same as it was when that 20 game stretch started. Now, and I think that bleeds into the season. Now it is like you just got to survive all of these nuclear bombs that have been dropped in your lap to the roster over the next few weeks. And I do think we have to change that perspective on what we were hoping, not just for that specific number, but like now it's not, can they get there as one of the best teams in the American League? Now it's just, can they still get there? Because they've lost. I mean, again, no team in baseball is going to overcome directly what they've lost. Now, do they lose seven in a row? Obviously, again, the timing is just tragic on all of this. But there's good timing, too, because all the teams behind them in the wild card keep losing, too. It doesn't matter if they don't start winning some games. They have to start winning some games. The schedule doesn't care that they've lost all these players. It's just going to keep delivering body blows outside of the uppercuts and the haymakers of these injuries. To get Quatraro back tonight, hopefully he can, you know, get in there and they can rally around him and what he's been dealing with a little bit. We'll have more on this game in the second hour. We'll look at tonight's game specifically on the other side. All right, a lot of fun stuff coming today. In our next segment, we'll have Dan Israel in. We'll have Shreyas Lotta in. Dan Israel's second hour. We'll have Shreyas Lotta in, our KU insider. That's coming up in just a few minutes. We'll look back briefly, probably, on the Lindenwood game and get more excited looking forward for the first real contest for KU. That's coming up next. All that baseball coverage on KFH presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use the savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Okay, you talk when we return on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster alongside you as we make our way through a Wednesday here. So my days are all thrown off, Tommy. This portion of the program, by the way, brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Check out Crestview Country Club right now. Never better weather to golf than right now. Great opportunity to get in there to the bar, watch some of these football games. It's all set up for you and should be just ready to rock and roll. The fall is here. Great chili, usually. Great hot soup. Good football food there that you can get your hands on. But we appreciate their support.
By the way, I love how you're, you know, talking about the food that they have there, which is all great. The first thing you go to is how good their soup is. Like, they mean
their chili, their soup,
and that's
like,
fine.
I mean, that's the
yeah.
Fall.
They've got good soup, but it's like, you know, not the steak. You know, not a great burger. You know, good tacos, whatever. It's like, oh, they've got really good soup. Yeah, like that's a great selling point.
I got chili on my brain right now as we're about to start talking football and getting into football weather. It is football season. We have played college football. KU goes into the opener and beats Lindenwood 48-3. They do not cover the spread, which was hilarious. I think I had it at 45.5, but they don't cover. And so what we're going to do now is bring in our KU insider, Shreyas Lotta, to join the program as KU is, rocking and rolling. Shreyas, I mean, it's fine, right? That's what we wanted to see out of the opener. It's so hard with these games, like, to even If we're going to evaluate, we saw Daniels play a half. He looked fine. Good, I guess, right? Like it's a good opener. I don't know what else we wanted to see there. Did you see anything that gives you any concern? Like, oh man, we really wanted to see X, Y, or Z out of that, or are we good and now we can really start the season?
I don't think there's too much concern right now. You know, like you said, how much are you really going to make out of them playing an FCS opponent? They did what they were supposed to do after a little bit of a slow start. They had a nice run to kind of end the half of the first half offense, and the second half, the backups and the backups came in and they did a good job there. The one thing that I'm looking for in this Illinois game is who gets the quarterback. Cause I was looking at their stats and obviously, you know, that the defense only like this first half was the first string defense. They only had, I think they ended the game with two sacks and two pressures of the quarterback total. KU did. So I think that could be something to pay attention to in this Illinois game, because that's the big question mark with this team is who's going to get to the quarterback. From what I saw from the defense, I was really impressed overall. I think, you know, they are as good as they were last year, at least in the secondary. Their defensive line did what it was supposed to do for the most part. But just kind of looking at the overall stats on the pressures and sacks and stuff like that, we're hoping maybe they end up with a little more, but I think the opposing team, Leonard Woods' quarterback, did a good job of getting rid of the ball before he got sacked a lot of times. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in this Illinois game. And obviously the big thing was, does Jalen Daniels look like Jalen Daniels? And initially Jalen Daniels did not quite look like Jalen Daniels, because you could definitely see a little bit of rust and, you know, the miscommunication with Luke Grimm on that interception. But, you know, he looked like his usual self by the end of second quarter. And, they ended up with like 350 plus yards on offense in the first half between him and the running back duo.
You know, for me, Sharius, going into the game against Lindenwood, it was less about, you know, what I wanted to see from individual players and positions. It was more about, this was the first game without Andy Kotelnicki calling the offense. They've got a new kind of offensive coordinators there. You know, Jeff Grimes obviously comes in and all of that. Did you notice anything different, you know, whether that's schematically or just in the way that that offense, you know, is put together play-wise, knowing that the Andy Kotelnicki era is now over?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they were under center a little more. There wasn't as much, kind of trickery, I'd say. But obviously it's game one, so, you know, it's hard to really make around. But one of the things with Andy was, you know, the people would complain about the fact that he would go for these kind of out-of-the-box plays on really important downs where there's no reason to do that. I didn't see that with Jeff Grimes. But, you know, Andy has, like, you know, if you watch that Penn State game, Drew Allaire looked really, really good. You know, obviously West Virginia doesn't look like a great team right now, or the defense doesn't look great at least. But, you know, Andy, to his credit, it seems like it was the right move for him, at least after game one of that, the Drew Allaire era, Penn State era. But with Grimes, I think there was, you can definitely see an imprint on his play, the run heavy offense a little bit. You know, he talked about wanting to be balanced. So you can definitely see a little bit of balance there. I think one of the things with Andy was always like, just the vibe I got and, you know, a lot of the receivers won't say this out loud, but, you know, they get to be more involved in the Jeff Grimes offense. They're not used as blockers as much as they might have been with, Andy. And I think, you know, you'll see that this year. They're going to be more involved. They're going to be used more. And especially three veterans who are all the same age, you know, I think that's huge. I think it's too hard to make an assessment really on the differences in Grimes and Andy. There were some subtle things like, you know, being under center more, you know, not being hurried up as much as Andy was at times. But I think it'll be really apparent in the Illinois game.
So one of the other things we maybe didn't get a look at that could just be the opponent was Jalen Daniels running the ball. When it was, when it was 2022, 2023, when he was a legitimate bona fide in 2022 Heisman candidate, his legs were part of his game. Now he's not, you know, he's not going to run like Avery Johnson's probably going to run at K-State, but running the ball is a part of it. He didn't do that at all in the game against Lindenwood. And I don't fault them for it. I probably wouldn't have either, but we still kind of want to see it, don't we? Like, you want to see him take off and be able to do that?
No, you 100% want to see it. I think somebody asked me this on a mailbag question last week, and the way I look at it is KU's been so cautious about his recovery. They've been erring on the side of caution every step of the way. So I didn't expect Jalen Daniels to go out there and be like, hey, here's a design run. Go run for 10 yards. I expect Jalen Daniels to slowly incorporate that back into his game as the weeks come in. You know, we'll probably see a little bit of running from Jalen in the Illinois game. But I think it's not going to be an end-all, be-all thing where they do it right away. We're going to see him scrambling like crazy. We're going to see him extending plays as like Jalen Daniels does. Because at the end of the day, this Kansas football team knows that they go as far as Jalen Daniels' health goes. You know, like if they want to win the Big 12 championship, it's going to happen with Jalen Daniels on the field. You know, I don't see any other scenario in that scenario in that case. So I get the cautiousness from the team, from Jalen, from everybody. I'm sure he's itching to kind of run around a little bit because, you know, it's always fun. But I expect this Illinois game, we'll see him tuck and run a little more and maybe some design runs here and there just to kind of get him back to his old self.
It's been so well documented, just the strength of the running back room for the Jayhawks coming into this season. It seems like Devin Neal, by the way, has been with the program for about 13 years now. You know, he's just been around forever. But between him and Daniel Hyshaw, Sevion Morrison, all three of them had touchdowns. Again, I know they're playing an FCS opponent. It's not going to be, they're not going to be able to, you know, probably run all over every single opponent, but that's absolutely going to be a strength of this Jayhawks offense and something that I would imagine that, you know, Lance Leipold is going to want to lean on. Maybe so they don't even, you know, necessarily have to lean on Jalen's legs quite as much at the quarterback position. I know takeaways are difficult in a game against Lindenwood, but you know, I'm sure that seeing that dominance on the ground, you know, you would think would probably bode well for them moving forward.
100%. I think Jeff Grimes said it best. You know, Devin Neal has the best make you miss ability of any running back he's coached, which is high praise because he's coached a lot of different places. And Daniel Hyshaw is one of those guys that kind of, you know, wants to love run people over. And he's like, if you combine those guys, and I'm always telling them to be a little bit more like each other, you know, it's like a superpower, a superhero almost. And I kind of agree with that. You know, like they have two very different type of backs that complement each other well. And, you know, the Hyshaw is the battering ram that seems to open up the Devin Neal like 40, 50 yard runs that happen in the second half on a continuous basis. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Illinois, you know, kind of tries to defend both of them because they, you know, the press conferences have talked about how important KU's running game is for opening up the offense, but also just how much easier it makes Jalen's life because these guys are getting 4, 5, 6 yards on first downs. You know, like those are chunk yards you're getting. And now it's a second and 5 or a 3rd and 4 instead of, you know, a 2nd and 8 or a 3rd and 9 or something like that. I think that is so underrated. And, you know, like just even not just them, but Sevion Morrison looked good. You know, obviously the competition that they're playing isn't great, but he looked good. You know, Johnny Thompson looked good. You know, there's a lot of bright futures in that running back room. And it tells you, you know, a guy like Sevion might be playing a more prominent role at a team that isn't as stacked as Kansas is.
Trey Slotta, KU beat reporter for the KC Star, joining us. Follow Shreyas and find his work on X. But Shreyas, let's look to Illinois now. They were really good against Eastern Illinois. Another one where it's like, I don't even know what to do with that. I mean, I guess it's better for Illinois fans that they were not bad against them, but I don't know how you look ahead. I know that KU's a 5.5-point favorite. I know that they're playing in Champaign. I assume this will be a really good test for KU, really good measuring stick kind of opportunity for them to get out there as the number 19 team in the country, as a road favorite against a Big Ten team, and prove it to everybody watching.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things that, you know, it's a game on Fox Sports 1. It's at night. It's an important game to showcase that, yes, this is a team that can win a Big 12 championship. And it starts by winning against Illinois. It starts by showing that you are better than a Big 10 team. It starts by showing that you can go on the road and win these kind of games, because Illinois has been watching the game tape. They know what Kansas is. They know that they like lost a game that they could have won last year at certain points. And they've talked about it, that they, you know, this Illinois team is not as is much better than last year's team. I mean, I went back and watched a little bit of last year, and I'm, you know, just looking at them against Eastern Illinois. I think the one good takeaway for Illinois fans is Eastern Illinois was projected to finish second in their conference in the Big Sky, I believe. And last year, if I remember correctly, Illinois barely beat Toledo. Toledo, obviously, pretty good team in their conference and you know, an FCS team. But the fact that they're already off to a better start this year than last year is a promising thing for Illinois fans. So I expect this to be a test, and I think it'll be closer than Kansas fans expect them to be, because there's going to be some growing pains. And I expect, you know, these coaches know each other well. You know, Lance has talked about how Illinois coaches has been kind of a helping hand in times he's needed. So I expect Illinois to be ready, especially at home. You know, it's sold out for the first time in a long time. That tells you the power of Kansas football and the excitement around Illinois football right now. And, you know, I think it's going to be a really interesting game, because it's going to be, you know, looking at a team like Illinois, which is so physical on both ends, you know, defensive and offensive line. You know, like, they've done a big job of, you know, getting transfers. They brought in a guy from Florida State that's going to be a nice defensive tackle that is pay attention to. And just you look at that, and if Kansas comes out there with a commanding victory, to me, that is a big showcase of where this team is and where they want to go.
Sheree is checking out your article that you dropped this morning on both the Kansas City Star and the Wichita Eagle about the one area that the Kansas defense struggled a year ago against Illinois. That was limiting Illinois' quarterback Luke Altmyer on the ground. He scrambled like crazy. I remember that a year ago in that game in Lawrence. And that, you know, to your point in your article, was kind of a theme for the Kansas defense a year ago, having a hard time containing quarterbacks and keeping them from scrambling and running all over the Kansas defense. What did you find out as you were, you know, writing that article? Of course, we'll, you know, obviously ask people to go and read it. But, you know, some of the things that you found out as far as what the Kansas defense is trying to do, at least in this particular game on Saturday, to keep that from happening again.
You know, I talked to DJ Withers about it, and he said the big thing is you got to limit these guys in their pass rush lanes. Like, you know, you got to go in and kind of wreak havoc there, and you need to get to the quarterback early. I think Kansas last year really struggled with limiting, you know, kind of scrambling dual threat QBs. If there was a weakness on that defense, it was that, and maybe, you know, the rushing, they could have been a little better rushing defense-wise. But, you know, you look at this Kansas team, they know that all the things that happened last year, they have that in the back of their mind. This is an old team filled with a lot of continuity. So there is a sustained focus on, you know, defending a guy like Lou Altmyer who can run with his legs. I mean, last year he had a 70-yard touchdown run. You know, you can't have that in a game like this. That's especially when you're playing on the road. That's stuff that changes momentum. That's stuff that can change the game fabric. And, you know, it's important to make sure a quarterback who struggled, you know, throwing the ball against the Jayhawks defense, you know, continues to struggle overall, and you don't give them an out. And I think this Kansas team has done a good job of really focusing in this this week on practice. I talked to a few different guys about it, and it seems like the big focus has been, hey, like, we know Luke can run. We know that he's going to do that. So we got to make sure he doesn't get comfortable. We got to keep him in the pocket. We got to make sure that when he is in the pocket that he's taken care of and he's not getting the chance to step into his throws. And when he's running, you know, you have to make sure that you're making it limited to 1-2 yards instead of big 10, 15-yard chunk plays that can change the fabric of the offense in the game.
It's going to be good. They ran it as much as they threw it in that game against Eastern Illinois. Again, it's hard to take definitives away from that stuff. But you can read that preview and more of Shreyas' work as he looks ahead to this. You can follow him on X at SHRE98. Shreyas, let's go. Now we can really start the football season, right? Now we're getting good here. That was a nice little tune-up. We'll call it the preseason. Now it's getting real for KU. We're looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
There goes Shreyas Lotta. Appreciate his weekly visits here, our KU insider for Sports Daily. It'll be fun. We'll have much more on that game as we make our way through the week, into the weekend. We get them on Saturdays. Like, this is real. We're real here now, Tommy, and we get a real test. And I'm excited about it. 5.5-point spread. Illinois seems to be for real. I didn't realize they had sold that game out. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be.
That is going to be fun.
It'll be a blast. And, you know, I can't remember the last time that we were talking about, you know, a team selling out their stadium for the first time in a long time. I think it had been like 5 or 6 years since Illinois had a sellout and they sold it out for Kansas coming to town.
Number 19 Kansas.
I know.
Right, with a Heisman candidate quarterback. I get it. It's for its, you know, we're there. And I can't wait for it. That game is going to be fun. We've got a good slate this week. After, you know, after having to kind of sit through it last week, we got a good slate this week. Tulane, a good opponent for K-State as well. We got a couple of good true road games happening for the two teams this week. That'll be a lot of fun to watch on Saturday. More on that as we make our way through the week. Let's come back. And we will we'll have some fun here as well. We've got our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, coming up top of the next hour. A little housekeeping in the next segment. We'll get you ready for that. Don't go away.
Haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Let's set up our HTO giveaway, a text win contest. You can enter the contest by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That will get you a free iced tea, more than 20 flavors, a free coffee drink with Free Rain Coffee, now featuring an apple crisp dirty chai or a butter pecan mocha, to two new fall flavor options from HTO. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that's TTEA to the short code 20357. Tommy, don't let my shirt fool you. I'm on the struggle bus today. A trip home to Texas is always a wild experience. I had 5 fantasy football drafts, I think, over the course of the weekend. I don't really recall who I have on any of the teams. It all just sort of jumbles together. It's so, like, it's hard. My brother just opened a restaurant, Tommy. They put Keystone Light on draft. Like, I got a wild and crazy family, and it's like nonstop activity. Like,
it's all a blur. It's a blur of a weekend.
My back is thrown. Like, I don't know, man. It's you had, I'm getting too old for this.
You had 5 fantasy drafts. I know of one of them because I was a part of one of them.
Yeah, you were helping. I was at,
I have to tell you,
6-man football game in Wildorado, Texas, trying to get enough reception to text pick Tommy.
I have to tell you, and I didn't say this while you were, you know, gone, because you're on vacation. I want you to enjoy yourself. So I figured I would bring it up on this program. That was probably the least fun draft I've ever been a part of, ever.
Because you were trying to help me?
Yeah, and it wasn't your fault. I mean, I'm happy to help, but the service was so bad in the basement of the house that we were in that I kept trying to take pictures of the draft board to send to you, and the pictures weren't going through, and then you're the only one that's not there, and so everybody's picking relatively quickly, and I'm still waiting for the picture to come to go through to you, and then everybody's looking at me like, how come your guy hasn't picked yet? And I'm like, I can't get the text to go through. I don't know. We're sitting here waiting. Like, it was like, in fact, there were multiple times there. I was so busy working on figuring out who you were going to take that I was right after you, and I had no clue who I was going
to
take.
That's all part of my strategy to throw you off your game. No, and it felt to me like we were moving moderately quickly, which speaks to how bad the reception must have been on your end. Cause as soon as I'd get one, I'd fire one right off. And then, you know, the back and forth must've been bad. I was watching what was a 3.5-hour long 6-man game. 6-man games are usually very fast, right? They have a coach now who throws the ball every time, which is unheard of. And so the clock stopping like every 5 seconds. And I'm like, oh, this is insane. But it was fun. It got to see my nieces and nephews. They were playing volleyball.
Do they serve Keystone Light at six-man football games too?
What's that?
Do they serve Keystone Light at 6-man football games?
They do not. No, they do not.
Especially if it's going to take 3.5 hours.
That thought did cross my mind, because that was the beginning of the trip before the other shenanigans. We're getting old, man. Like, I can't hang like I used to hang. Like, it's a tough gig, but it was fun. I appreciate you guys holding down the fort. And now we're rocking and rolling. We're right in the middle of it, which means the Chiefs play tomorrow night. Up next, Dan Israel, our Chiefs insider, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, hops on the program. We'll get you all primed up for this game against the Ravens when we return. Don't go away. Sports Daily, coming right back.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
For track pick number 1.
number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Kester.
Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Hey, Chiefs Kingdom, we have you covered. Joining Sports Daily Live, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is hour number two on the program here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Kester with you on this Wednesday edition. We've got Dan with the holiday week. We've got everything shuffled up a little bit, but it's perfect because the Chiefs open up the season, tomorrow night at home against Baltimore. You'll hear the game. You'll hear the Chiefs Radio Network, where Dan is the executive producer, over on KNSS, your home of the Chiefs here in Wichita. Excited to have it. Dan, does it feel like we're in football season yet? You ready for this?
Almost. It is just around the corner. I love that the tradition of Red Friday has kind of now become the tradition of Red Wednesday. Isn't that crazy? What a blessing.
Yeah, like we start these Thursday night openers, it becomes a tradition. The Chiefs lost it last week, or last year, I should say, to the Lions. I got to tell you, I'm feeling squirrely on this one with the Ravens. I don't know why. Well, I do know why, because they added Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I just cannot imagine John Harbaugh is going to make the same mistake he made in that AFC Championship game by not running the ball. I think we're going to get a real test for the Chiefs defense, the somewhat new look defense, to see if they can stop the run, because they weren't tested in that game last year for whatever reason. I would imagine Baltimore runs the crap out of the ball tomorrow, and it's going to be tough.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, Jacob, they'd make the same mistakes twice, right? I mean, I think if anybody looks at that AFC Championship, the one thing you look at is, why did Baltimore abandon the run? I mean, that's their bread and butter, and they got rid of it. Well, they're even more committed to it now, right, with Derrick Henry. And I've been up close to Derrick Henry on multiple occasions. And, gentlemen, I'm telling you, it's scary. The man is huge. He is just he's like a massive tree trunk. And so I think the addition of him makes this team a very formidable AFC opponent. And frankly, that's exactly why we're all a little nervous, right? I do think it's interesting the parallels to 1969 here, where the Chiefs opened the next season, the 70 season, after winning the Super Bowl against the Vikings in 69, they opened the 70 season against the Vikings, and they did get trounced. You know, I mean, the Vikings had a lot of revenge to play, and I'm sure the Ravens are coming to town that way too. So you take a very good team, a well-coached team, and you put a little, you know, piss and vinegar behind it, and what you got is Thursday night. It'll be entertaining for sure.
You know, Dan, I think that part of the reason why, you know, I would anticipate the Ravens just trying to run the crap out of the ball, and not only Derrick Henry, but also the fact that probably stopping the run is maybe one of, I don't know, the weak spots potentially with this defensive line. We know that pass rush is there, and it has been there, you know, with the guys that are returning for the most part. But I'm really interested to see how well they can try to stop the run. And, you know, I know that you can't really contain Derrick Henry, but at least you hope to slow him down. What do you want to see from the defensive line if it does end up looking like the Ravens are going to run the ball a lot?
You know, I really feel like you can rattle Lamar Jackson. He hasn't proven to me that he has the gravitas to kind of sit through those trying times and make it out the other side, making something happen, whether it's a behind the back or a sidearm pass or all the things we see Mahomes do when he gets cornered. I feel like Lamar Jackson can be put in kind of a you know, pushed into a place where he's uncomfortable, which is odd. Now, keep in mind, Jackson's only 27 years old. He feels like he's been around a long time, to be honest with you, but he's only 27 years old. So he's going to continue to get better every year. I thought last year the Ravens saw him get better as a pocket passer, sitting back there and kind of relaxing in those middle of the field throws he got very good at. He would sit back in the pocket and he looked like a Tom Brady for a minute. Not so much on the sides, throwing the passes to the sideline, not very accurate, not throwing on the run like Mahomes, but he does still scramble with those legs. So I want to see the Chiefs defense get enough pressure on him to rattle them, because I think that's one of the things we saw in the fourth quarter of that AFC Championship is they melted down. The Chiefs stood firm, and they melted down. I'd like to see that again, but it's going to be a tough call, let me tell you.
Well, in that, and that's kind of a part of it, I think, where the fear comes in. And to me, it's the defense. Can they be what they were last year? Yeah, Lamar Jackson can be put into a corner, but can he be without Snead? You know, can you without a spy, kind of, with Willie Gay? And a pass rush that we've had questions about coming into this season. So I think that's where I look at it, and I'm like, okay, this defense, here's your test. Can you be what you were? And again, I don't think long-term they need to be as good as they were, because I think the offense is way better. But I think the defense will get its truest test right here out of the gates. If they can do well against the Ravens, then I'm in. But it just seems like a very tall task here in this opener to get that done.
Yeah, no doubt. I think one of the things that's interesting too, Jacob, is like a normal run game, a team with a normal run game, one of the things that they experience is they're not explosive. They just slowly and methodically accumulate points over four quarters. That's the way the run game works. Not so with Derrick Henry. Man, he is one step away from breaking it and being gone. And so you kind of get that run game with that explosive potential. I don't like that recipe. I just, you know, it's going to be a full dance card for the Chiefs defense. We're going to see right from the get-go here how good they are and whether or not they can make adjustments as fast as the other guy.
Offensively, Dan, the Chiefs made an acquisition over the weekend. They signed Samaje Perine to join the running back room. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on the non-football injury list for the first four games, won't play for the team. And, you know, first and foremost, you never, you know, want to wish ill will on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. However, I do think that with the addition of Samaje Perine, I actually like the running back room better with Perine instead of CEH there in the rotation, primarily because he adds that additional threat of pass catching out of the backfield that they don't have, you know, they didn't have when they chose to not re-sign Jerick McKinnon. What do you see from Samaje Perine? What does he bring to the team? And do you think he'll be worked in right away tomorrow night in the game?
Yeah, those are all good questions, Tommy. I think one of the things that's fascinating about this is, who was going to replace Jerick McKinnon? Because Jerick McKinnon just kind of quietly got this chunk of work done when you were third and short and you could depend on him. And, you know, it seems like he wasn't a feature guy necessarily. So, you know, the loss of him might not be significant. It does. It is. And so I feel like Perine was a good addition to that. Now, how quickly can he come up on a 400-page playbook? I don't know. I guess it would somewhat depend on how different his scheme was than what ours is. But I love the idea of having him back there, because as much as the Cinderella story of Carson Steele attracts me, you need more than two running backs. It's just a fact of the matter. You just need more than two running backs, even on a team whose offense necessarily doesn't feature the run. The way Pacheco runs, he's so violent that, you know, it's just, that's a very wear and tear kind of situation, and you don't want to be going anywhere. You don't want to go on a long trip without a spare tire, you know.
Executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, Dan Israel, joining us in the other part of the offense, the passing game. I've wondered this for a little while, Dan, is Hollywood Brown's not going to play. Do you think they open it more to Worthy in that scenario? They've had time to do that as the rookie, or is this more of, you know, they've got two guys who've been in this offense in Watson and Smith-Schuster. You know, does Worthy step into a larger role with Hollywood being out early, or do they just try to have replacement value with some of these other guys, do you think?
I would think it's a larger role. I think one of the things that you see with young guys is, you know, receivers are ultimately tasked with knowing the X, Y, and Z positions. And I think when they bring them in, sometimes, you know, you teach them 40 plays and you just say, just learn the X position on these 40 plays, or just learn one position on each of these plays as opposed to all three of them. And so, but I think what you have when you have a guy go down is then you see a situation of, hey, this was going to be a featured wideout. Who's going to step into that role? And it will just intrinsically push him into a higher role and to needing more knowledge. But I think they'll be careful not to just saturate and overload him, because that can certainly happen. And as much as you want to win this first game, what you don't want to do is create a head case in a receiver that takes 4 to 6 weeks to straighten out. So my guess is they will heighten his role. They will increase his role, but they won't make it a full load, a full burden to him quite yet. That would be my guess.
Dan, I want to go back to the defense and specifically the secondary. You know, getting Justin Reed back healthy, you know, is definitely great for the Chiefs heading into this season, because we weren't exactly sure what that timeline would look like for him. It's obviously going to be a challenge not having Legarius Sneed on this roster. Of course, they still have Trent McDuffie. You know, there were a couple of young cornerbacks that stepped up in the preseason as well. I'm really intrigued by, you know, as the season progresses, and we may not know specifically after just one game, but maybe after the first month or so, what the rotations look like as far as the secondary is concerned, and, you know, if it's going to be kind of replacing Sneed by committee and what that will all look like. Do you anticipate there being some growing pains in the secondary, knowing that you now don't have that two-headed monster of McDuffie and Sneed this season?
Yeah, Tommy, it's interesting. You know, for those of us who have been in radio a long time, you can put two guys together on a show. Do they have chemistry? You don't know that until you put them on the show. And I feel like it's the same with these cornerbacks. I think the most significant loss, if you were to look at the defense, the most significant loss is certainly Sneed. And then right behind him, Willie Gay. And I think one of the things about losing Willie Gay Jr. is you had Drew Tranquil, who was almost capable of being that guy already because he fulfilled that role already with the injuries that came to Gay previously. So I think that if you look at the linebacker, you can say, well, the depth is really what got hit on that, not the starter, because Tranquil, in my opinion, is capable of starting. However, with Sneed, that is completely different. That is not an easy position to just step into. While McDuffie may come down to be a top five defensive back, and wouldn't surprise me in the least if he did, who's going to become the Trent McDuffie? If he becomes the Sneed, who becomes the Trent McDuffie?
Yeah.
I don't think the Chiefs have solved that, and I don't think they're going to be able to until they get these guys out on the field and they see who's learning the fastest, who's absorbing the quickest, who's able to have recovery speed when they make a mistake. I think that only comes from game time. But one of the things I love about Steve Spagnuolo is, man, his eyes are everywhere. He doesn't miss a thing. So it's always nice to know that, you know, for a guy who's probably, 5'9 down there, he can see over everybody and see everything on that field.
Dan, it's funny. We've gone now almost 15 minutes. We haven't talked about what has been and was the biggest question of the offseason, and that's left tackle. You got a rookie out there at left tackle. He's going to, you know, in all likelihood, take all the reps against a defense that typically is one of, if not the best defenses in football, no matter who they have on the roster, every single year they are. How much do you think he will be able to, I want to say survive, that's probably not fair, but it will be a little bit of survival mentally, I would think, against a defense like that. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at him, and he will get a perfect test to see if he's capable and ready to step up to that challenge right away.
I think you're right about the mental.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Survival, because I think one of the things that Kings is going to find out here is that the physicality of this league is so much more intense than what most of these guys saw in college. And the speed and quickness. I mean, I remember in the early 90s, I would go be down on the field before games, setting up and running wires and working out wireless issues. And I would see guys that weighed 300 pounds and ran, you know, 5'0" 40s. And you're just thinking, that isn't right. That isn't human. It's not natural to see a man that large moving that quickly. And those defensive linemen, that's what a good defensive line is. And you take one that's experienced, a guy who plays it like a pitcher, who's throwing you a fastball and setting up his change. You know, I just think it's going to be a lot for him to absorb, but that is part of the role here. And I think that's probably one of the roles where Wanye was struggling, was to kind of get over those humps. And so you have to figure out what you have and what you don't have. And man, it's so odd here for the three of us to be talking about it. The maybe the most difficult game of the season is Thursday night, the very first game.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, I really think, too, when we're talking about, I know the offensive line has been, you know, a little bit of a question mark, at least on the left tackle. I wonder, and I know they've locked up Creed Humphrey. I know that they feel really confident, you know, especially with the interior of that line. Do you anticipate, it hasn't been talked about a whole lot recently, at least with Joe Tooney. I know he was working his way back from an injury as well. That left side of the line, left of Creed Humphrey, you've got some inexperience with, you know, the new left tackle, and then Joe Tooney. Do we know if he's 100%, if he's going to be ready to rock tomorrow night?
I would say not 100%, but he will somehow reach down and find out a way to get to 99%. You know, I mean, he's just that kind of guy. And I do think the interior three, Tooney and Creed and Trey Smith, I just think are so accomplished at what this offense requests of them to do that it does make it lessen for the right and left tackles. However, and I would also add into that the creativity of Andy Reid, the mobility of Patrick Mahomes lessens that demand on the blind side. Mahomes is quick enough to evade traffic to his right. And so I think they're ideally set up to maybe not have their strongest positions where you would normally see those for a statue or a pocket type passer. But the tackles are just, they're asked to do so much in Andy Reid's offense that they've got to be at the very least competent, if not excel in these positions. And so I think you've got to get one of those. Somebody's got to come alive, whether it's the right side or the left side. And I'm really anxious to see how the left side goes, because we've seen it in practice. We've seen kind of sparks, and we've seen things that catch our attention that excite us, but it all comes down to how they play in a game, right? And I remember Derek Alexander, man, he was the worst practice player. You'd look at him and go, how did you make it to this league? And then on game day, he would be like Deion Sanders. It's crazy. You know, they just turn it on, turn it off.
Oh, so, I cannot wait, Dan. Yeah. What a great opener we've got. Ravens Chiefs, that rematch. It's as good as an opener as you ever get. And it'll be tomorrow. All the coverage on the Chiefs Radio Network over on KNSS tomorrow. Dan will be there, a part of it. Mitch Holthus on the call, of course, as we get ready to begin a journey for a three-peat. That's the goal. I mean, it's history is on the line this season, and it starts with a tough a game as they'll have on their schedule, Dan, tomorrow night. We can't wait for it.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There goes Dan Israel. Man, we picked him last week, and I took the points because it is going to be, and that doesn't mean I don't think the Chiefs will win, because I haven't decided on that yet. I just want the points at this point because it's The test is so good. It's so good. We'll have much more on the game tomorrow. Not to worry, Chiefs fans. We'll get to it. All right. It's open phones the rest of the way. 869-1240. The IHOP hotline is back open. It's brought to you by IHOP. All-you-can-eat pancakes deal through September 15th. So get ready for that. We want to hear from you. You can get in touch with us on our video stream as well, which is on 12 News Connected. It's on Facebook, YouTube, or X. All the different ways to get in touch with the program. It's yours the rest of the way. We'll come back more Sports Daily right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad to be here with you. Reached out to me, great listener on social media, intrigued, ears perked up a little bit when I said Keystone Light on Draft at my brother's new restaurant. It's just a brilliant idea from him. And it was fun. It was awesome. It's just hard sometimes to remember. My memory is not good when I go on long weekends like that, that I am no longer 23 years old. And there are consequences for my actions. That draft we were talking about, you and I got like a D draft grade. I kept just getting like D and D minus draft grades. I can't wait to prove all the computer nerds wrong this fantasy football season. Hope everybody is through their fantasy football drafts. I love that weekend. It's so much fun as we get ready to start the season tomorrow with the Chiefs and the Ravens. Let's go to the IHOP hotline. Fred's on the line, wants to talk a little Chiefs with us here. Fred, what's up? Welcome into Sports Daily.
Well, I'm an old-time listener and an old-time follower of the Chiefs. I remember a game we played against Tennessee and Derrick Henry. And the way we played him is we hit him early before he got up to speed to stop him. And the guy I remember doing that was Bolton. He had a great game, had a bunch of tackles against him. So I'm interested in seeing the game tomorrow night to see how they defend Henry and whether they, spy him with Belton or not, and how they're going to handle the quarterback. But I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Thanks.
I appreciate it, Fred. So Derrick Henry, Tommy, quick search, 4 games against the Chiefs, 6 touchdowns in those games, 78 carries, 400 and 47 yards. So, and I don't believe that includes the postseason, but it has been a challenge with him over the years for the Chiefs and for every team in the NFL. He is a generational talent. How much gas does he have left in the tank? I'm not sure, but he'll have a lot in week one of the season. Baltimore is going to be an interesting offense this year. They feel like they've got 2 great tight ends now, with Andrews healthy and likely doing what he did a year ago. They've got Zay Flowers, who looks like he is a really, really good young player. And now they add Derrick Henry into the mix. It will be a challenging offense to hold down. There is no question about it. Baltimore is very, very good this year. And how does Henry fit in with Lamar Jackson? That'll be interesting to see. I mean, do they treat it like a two-headed monster? Do they just feed the rock to Henry the whole time? I don't know, but it will be one of those things too. And this is where I've had a hard time looking at it from a betting perspective, Tommy. If you're the Chiefs, do you feel like you need to get out ahead? Because you know Derrick Henry, if you watch Derrick Henry over his career, he starts to kill you in the second half is when he starts to kill you. Once your defense is a little worn down, it's not usually early in the game, it's late. And so, you know, is the goal then for the Chiefs to strike early and try to take the Ravens' ability in the second half to just pound the rock away? That would be my strategy if I were the Chiefs. You could also look at it as just keep Baltimore's offense off the field and try and pound it with Isaiah Pacheco. There's a lot of different little interesting strategy nuggets in all of this. I sure wish they had Hollywood Brown. But it's hard for me to look at it like from over under and all that stuff, because there's the game planning in this one is fascinating on how you do it. It's not really one of those things where it's like, oh, let's just go play to our strength. You do have to try to counter what the other is doing. And both sides have to do this. The Ravens do too. But it makes it a little tricky and fascinating football game to watch, I'm sure.
Well, let's go back specifically to, you know, Fred talking about Nick Bolton and his role. I think that, you know, when we're talking about Chiefs linebackers, the conversation all offseason has been primarily around the loss of Willie Gay Jr. And I think Nick Bolton, you know, is quietly probably the best linebacker on that roster. And I think part of the reason why he hasn't been talked about quite as much this offseason is because he did miss significant time in the middle of the year last year with injuries. But when he was out on the field early in the season and then late in the year, and especially during the playoff run, he was an impact player for Kansas City. And he's going to be, you know, a guy that, you know, not that he wasn't already a leader on that defense, but he will continue that. I mean, I'm pretty sure that at least a year ago, and I don't know if it started last year or started in previous seasons, but he's the signal caller, you know, for the defense. He was last year. I would imagine he'll continue, you know, that this year as well when he's out on the field. And so he was a large reason why the Chiefs defense was one of the top defenses in the NFL when he was healthy and out there. And so I do think that that's going to be critical tomorrow night. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Chiefs defense completely sells out to stop Derrick Henry, you know, and plays man coverage in the passing game. I think that if you're kind of, you know, picking your poison, like if I'm Steve Spagnuolo and I'm picking my poison, I would rather Lamar Jackson try to beat me with his arm than have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry beat me with their legs. And so I think knowing that, I mean, it wouldn't shock me one bit, you know, if we see some of those Ravens wide receivers, specifically Zay Flowers, and, you know, I think Mark Andrews will probably get involved in a large way too, have pretty solid games, because I think the Chiefs defense is going to do whatever they possibly can do to stop that run.
Well, sure. But again, to the, you know, back to what we opened with Dan with, that's all fine and well, but the Ravens, if they don't run the ball again a ton, no matter what the Chiefs do, it will be a mistake. Like, you have to make this Chiefs defense prove it over and over and over again. And then the pressure becomes on the Ravens defense a little bit. The Chiefs are not at full strength offensively. They're just not. And so now it's like, can this, what I think will be by the end of the season, an insanely potent, high scoring passing game, can they come out of the gates that way? I mean, I guess the good news if you're a Chiefs fan is it's Andy Reid with 2 weeks basically to prepare and an off season. But they, you know, that didn't do them any favors last year in that opener. So look, it's tests all around.
Yeah,
may very well be the two best teams in football.
I'm not particularly concerned offensively for the Chiefs going into the game. I mean, I know they don't have Hollywood Brown, and you obviously, when you're playing his former team in the Ravens, you'd love to have him, you know, there on the field, and, you know, that's not going to happen. So yeah, you're depleted a little bit in that regard. I'm glad that they have reinforcements in Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm glad that they have reinforcements in Samaje Perine. I think that from an offensive point of view, more than anything, I think that they'll be fine in that regard. I'm not overly concerned about that. More than anything, for me, it's about what do you do to slow down a running game that, you know, I like you mentioned multiple times, John Harbaugh is not going to make the same mistake twice. He's not going to abandon the run twice. At least I don't think so.
But the Chiefs can make him do that. The Chiefs can make him do that if they score quick.
Yeah, but it's easier to make that decision when you have Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins. Like, you know, when you've got those running backs as compared to having Derrick Henry as your starting running back. Like, that's going to be it was indefensible, you know, in the AFC Championship game for John Harbaugh to abandon the run. It'll be even more so if he abandons it tomorrow night with the running back that he's got now in Baltimore. So I do think that that's ultimately going to be the name of the game. I think what will end up happening, in my opinion, is it will come down to the arm of Patrick Mahomes and the arm of Lamar Jackson. That will be the deciding factor in my mind in the game. Who's going to be more effective in that regard? And, you know, in my mind, it's absolutely Patrick Mahomes.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what the Chiefs would love to happen. But that's the point, right? Like, the Ravens don't want this to come down to the arm of Lamar Jackson. They want it to come down to the legs of Derrick Henry, and the legs, to some degree, probably, of Lamar Jackson. Although that's one thing I do wonder about Lamar this year is, with Henry there, does Lamar run less this year than he normally does? I think there's a chance that that happens. I don't know if there is some way to come up with, like, a don't know if you call it a read option with those two guys, but like those two together is going to be a really interesting pairing. And I cannot wait to see how the Ravens utilize that, but they're talented up and down. Again, it may very well be the best two rosters, best two teams in football right now. We just get them in the opener, and no matter what happens, I wouldn't overreact to it too much. I'll say that too. I'll tell you, we've got our betting insider set up. It's PJ Glasser is going to join us this year for some bets. I can't wait to ask him tomorrow. I love the idea, Tommy, of an Xavier Worthy touchdown prop tomorrow to score a touchdown in that opener. And I just wonder, and I wanted to ask Dan this, we ran out of time, how many shots that he thinks or we think the Chiefs will take to Worthy in the first game? I think it's at least two, just true shots that the Chiefs will take with him. There's no tape on him yet other than the preseason. So it feels as ripe as ever to try and set up those shots. I like that tomorrow, as a part of the betting extravaganza that I'm sure will happen in that opener that everybody can't wait for. But it'll be fun. Let's go back to some stuff Shreyas talked about with us there, Tommy. If you missed, by the way, Dan Israel talking Chiefs, Shreyas Lotta talking KU, you can go back and listen to those for free on the Odyssey app. All the shows are there for you, podcasted out. It's a great way to take in the program. If you haven't checked it out, just download the Odyssey app. You can go to kfhradio.com. KU Illinois. Honestly, it's for both K-State and KU, but true road games in week two, 5.5 points feels probably about right for KU, 10 points for K-State. These are, and they're both favored in the games, which they should be. They're both ranked right now. And what's been sort of a wacky college football year, I would say, to start, a little unpredictable, which is not surprising. It's predictable that it's unpredictable, right, with the transfer portal. But you got some weird stuff happening with teams that people thought might be really good, losing games early. These are trouble spots, probably more than they ever have been. True roadies against teams that, you know, every team can get a whole lot better faster than they ever could before. And that's why, like, when we talk about, like, who knows, right? Like, there's so much of this that feels unknown when it comes to college football early in this season. And watching the games that you watched over the first, let's call it a week and a half, I think prove it. Like, it we don't know how this is going to go.
Well, case in point is a team like Florida State, you know, that right? they were a top 10 team and they're 0-2, you know, and they're playing, you know, teams that, you know, should be considered pretty simple and easy victories for the most part in Georgia Tech and Boston College. And that hasn't happened. So yeah, any team can pop up and bite you, you know, at any time. Colorado very nearly got bitten by an FCS team, North Dakota State, last week. So anything can happen in college football. I think that both KU and K-State were similar in their first games in the fact that offensively both teams were a little sloppy. But both teams are replacing their offensive coordinators. Both teams are getting quarterbacks kind of up and running. Jalen Daniels getting him back up and running, and Avery Johnson, it's his team finally. You know, so it was a good warm-up for both teams. I think that there absolutely are some similarities, because if you look at the final stat lines for both Jalen Daniels and Avery Johnson from week one, neither one was particularly great. They were both okay. They were fine. Jalen Daniels only played in the first half. They were fine, but they weren't, you know, mind-blowing. It wasn't like you get crazy by looking at them. Both quarterbacks threw a pick in the opening game. So it was an opportunity for them to shake the rust off. The only concern that I would have for either team going into this weekend's games would be if the rust hasn't fully shaken off offensively for either one. I don't anticipate that happening, but that would be the only thing that could, you know, reach up and maybe, you know, trip them up a little bit in this game.
Yeah, and Illinois and Tulane will have that same concern, right? Like, they'll be dealing with the same sort of thing. It's just very hard to be predictive, I think, right now in college football, because there is so much change, not just for the teams that you follow, but the teams that they're playing against. It's hard to look back and take much from the year before, even in a, you know, even in cases where you have a key returning player. It just feels wildly unpredictable. And apologies to all the spouses out there who may not be as rabid into football as their significant other, because you've got now what we're looking at is a Chiefs opener tomorrow. You got an NFL game on Friday night and the start of high school football. You got college football Saturday with two different windows for K-State and KU. And then the full slate of NFL football for Sunday. We'll see everybody Monday. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. That starts tomorrow. Like, talk to you Monday, family. Like, it is just so much football. And they're all good. Like, everybody we follow is good right now. And that's crazy.
Yeah, the other thing for both KU and K-State that were similarities between the two teams in their opening week was that while both offenses were sloppy to an extent, especially early on, both defenses were really good. And I know that, again, you're talking about Lindenwood and UT Martin, right? But even getting that out of the way, you've got playmakers, no doubt about it, on both teams. And with KU, Melo Dotson had a pick six, and you had some of the major key playmakers on the Kansas State defense as well. I mean, I really believe that, and I've mentioned this, I know, with Tim Fitzgerald a couple of different times during the offseason, that at least with Kansas State, and maybe even to an extent with KU, because there's been so much talk about the offense and Avery Johnson and, what that's going to look like, that the defense is almost kind of like, hey, we're here too. Hey, remember us? You know, we can be an elite level defense in the Big 12. I think that's a similarity between both KU and K-State, that they both have, potentially elite level defenses and big time playmakers on the roster for both programs.
It's hard to imagine people are going to throw on KU this year. That will not be what gets them hurt, I don't think, defensively. Can they stop the run? If they can, I mean, look, if KU's good in the trenches defensively, they may have the best defense in the Big 12, which is another just wild thing to even consider when you look back at recent history. But that's a big part of what they hope they can do this year. In Illinois will certainly be a better test than they saw against Lindenwood. But that's coming. Can't wait for that. Again, if you missed anything with Shreya Slaughter, great breakdown of that. You can go back on the Odyssey app. You can find it there and dig in, as well as our interview with Dan Israel. We're going to jump back to the Royals when we return. We all know they got to get it stopped. Easier said than done with the blows to the roster that they've suffered lately. But we're going to preview tonight's game when we come back against the Guardians. Here we go. If you want to call in, phone lines are still open for you. The IHOP hotline, 869-1240. You can also leave us video comments on X, on YouTube, on Facebook. 12 News Connected is where a lot of you are watching us. Can't wait to get this thing rocking and rolling this year. We're here. We're in full swing. It's our first full guest insider list for Sports Daily, and it's going to be a blast. A little Royals talk for you when we come back, though. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away. Welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you as we get you ready for the Royals tonight. You'll hear the game right here on KFH and on the Odyssey app, your home of Kansas City Royals baseball. Look, 7-game losing streak. It has been rough. It has been rough just trying to stay healthy. They've had a lot of things going sideways on them. It would sure be nice if Seth Lugo could return to form as this team's ace. A Cy Young candidate not that long ago. He was really good in his last game against Houston. Really good. Still lost. 7 innings, just a run allowed. He had really struggled, though, in the 4 starts prior to that. But maybe a good sign against Houston. And it sure feels like right now the Royals will need him to be that good again. They're going up against Lively. Did they miss Lively the last time through the rotation? Give me 2 seconds. I'll check that for you. They did. So they did not get Lively in that prior series. You got to go back to June 27th for his game against the Royals. 6 innings, 2 runs. So he was pretty effective then. But look, we talked about this off the top. For me, with the Royals, as you get Lugo trying to do his thing, it's all about a longer-term survival play while they sort things out. It has shifted from, pre-collision that derailed the entire season, seemingly. It was, can they win the division? Can they position themselves and do X, Y, Z? And can, the little tinkering that was required. Now, it's almost like a reinvention project can they go through this and figure out, it's not a new way to win, but it's a different way, most likely. You're going to have to lean heavier on starting pitching than you hoped you'd have to, because Urcig is broken. And there ain't anybody coming to solve that right away. Now, the bullpen is a big, big problem. So the offense then has to step it up a little bit and help give a little cushion to the bullpen, but they got to do it without their, you know, one of their stalwarts in the offense, Vinny Pasquantino. So it, look, it's got to be a little bit different. You got Tommy Pham there at the top. You know, you got what we thought maybe hopefully they would get at the trade deadline. You have it now. Can they table set a little better for Bobby Witt Jr. and to another degree, Salvador Perez? I think they need to put Perez behind Bobby Witt Jr. in the lineup. It's going to be tricky, Tommy, but it's not the same conversation we were having a week ago. It's not because it's like there's a totally different team out there. Just look at the lineup. Like, it's like we're looking at a different team than we were a week ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a full week since this team has scored more than 3 runs in a game. And before that, you know, they were putting runs up on the board for the most part. When they took the first 3 games of the Guardian series, they scored 9, 6, and 5. And since that time, it's been 3, 2, 2, 2, 2, and 1. So it's declined. It's gotten worse, you know, as time has gone on. Now, again, I think fatigue plays a large part in that. And when you've got your star players in the lineup that are still healthy in there, in Witt Jr. and Perez, that are slumping because they're tired, I think that has a lot to do with it. I mean, there's not a team in Major League Baseball that needs a day off more than the Royals do that's coming tomorrow. You've got to salvage this Guardian series. You've got to at least take a game from them in this finale today. You need to do that so you go into the off day and you can try to recoup a little bit and get some kind of rest before you then kick off a big weekend against the Twins. If you want to continue to keep pace in the wild card race and not risk losing the cushion that you have, then you absolutely need to finish off this series well, snap that losing skid, and then take a day off and regroup and get ready to go for this weekend.
And hope the teams around you keep struggling. I mean, the best thing that can happen for the Royals, honestly, for the rest of the season, not necessarily for the postseason and their chances to win in the postseason, that they will have to fix some things for that. But just in general, will be for the cream to continue to rise to the top in the American League. For, you know, Baltimore, the Yankees, and Houston probably. And other than today, Cleveland, just win a whole bunch of games down the stretch, and hopefully they play series against some, you know, Boston and Seattle and Detroit. The reality is, I think their best chance to get there will be for everybody to continue struggling, because it's going to take a little while. It's going to take a little while, I think, to get this.
Hey, look, it's a risky proposition to have to rely on other teams to help you out in your position in the standings and in the playoff picture. You've got to take care of business yourself. That's easier said than done.
And they just need a little time. The problem is they're running out of time, and they just need a little time to try and iron it out. We'll find out tonight. Again, coverage right here on KFH. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on everything next on Sports Daily.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.